prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayetze. And I'd like to share with you a number of thoughts on the parsha. Let me begin with something towards the end of the parsha. There, you will note, you will remember, the story of the pile of stones and the Gal Avodim that is set up as a boundary between Yaakov and Laban. And it seems a lot of effort is put into telling us about the fact that they set up stones. What is the depth? What is the meaning of this idea? Let me preface this by sharing with you a grah. The Vilna Gaon says that whatever happened with Yaakov when he left Laban's house was a maisa of a similar bond in CCS Mitzrayim. And the grah himself writes that if you put your mind to it, you will see that this is noticeable in many aspects of what took place. The Gra writes, Remez L'davar, in our Mitzrayim, we find the Parsha Shemais, Levenim Oimrim Lanu Asei, Levenim is Remez to Lavan. And Yaakov Avinu took a Rakush, took a wealth out of Lavan's house. So too, Klai Yisrael took wealth out of Mitzrayim. Afterward, Lavan runs after Yaakov, and the Pasuk says after 3 days he started to run, and he reached him after 7 days. Exactly identical to what happened in Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael leaves Eretz Mitzrayim, they get the name Yisrael, so to Yaakov, if they're leaving the house of Lavan, he gets the name Yisrael. There are many other Ramazim and hints, and the Yisrael is probably something I mentioned in a previous year. Today, I'd like to take that Yisrael, the Yisrael of the Gra, and share with you how it applies to the stones that were put up. We find that when Lava runs after Yaakov, and he's not able to do him harm, there makes some sort of a bris. We find he made a pile of stones and ate near that pile of stones. Very strange agreement between the father-in-law and son-in-law. They say, look, this is the boundary. You don't come past it towards me, and I don't go towards you. And this is the agreement. So Yaakov agrees that I will no longer come towards you. Now, of course, we understand. This fits with Mitzrayim, where Hashem says, when you leave Mitzrayim, you won't see them again. It fits beautifully. Yaakov makes this deal that I won't pierce over this galavanim to come towards you. But the lesson here is something very much deeper. Very often a person decides to redouble his efforts in serving Hashem. Something about Shulva changes his life in serving Hashem. Sometimes a person moves. He moves maybe from one shul to another for kind reasons, or from one group of friends to another. A person in life has moments in which he feels strengthened to try to take a step forward. The biggest danger is when a person looks back. A person looks back at what he had and what he gave up to get where he is now. It's dangerous, because wherever you are now, there are ups and downs. There are times of happiness and times of sadness. Times where you feel accomplished and times where you feel frustrated. The trick in life in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is le'lavor es hagal, not to go back over that boundary that you erected for yourself. Not to let yourself fall back. In Avodas Hashem is a tenai. You want to grow? Get past it. Get past whatever it is that was the foolishness you're abandoning, and don't look back. That's the message of this pile of stones. The pile of stones, Gal Eid, Yaakov calls it. The place of the stones that are a witness to Klal Yisrael taking a separation, breaking away from Lavan. And the key is this lesson in the Pasuk. Le'ever Alecha, Va'ato Le'savar Alai. What a beautiful addition to the Gra's lesson that this parsha has to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were forbidden to return to Mitzrayim, and in general, in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to look back at the challenges, the Lavans, and the Parais of our past experiences. And so this is the beautiful Yisraelistic message from the end of the parasha. I'd like to go back to the beginning of the parasha. As you all know, Yaakov Avinu travels to his mother's home, passes Yerushalayim, and then says, as Rashi says, is it possible I passed the place where my forefathers davened, and I didn't stop to daven there, and he heads back. When he heads back, Rashi tells us, Yaakov has Kachitza Saderech. There's a verse from the Brisker Rav, a beautiful verse. He asks why Yaakov Avinu didn't have Kachitza Saderech on his way towards Lavan's house. Why is it only when he turns around and goes back to head to Harabayis that he has Kachitza Saderech? Isn't it strange? And the Brisker Rav, in his typical halachic mind, says a beautiful shot. He says, when Yaakov was heading towards Laban's house, he was Makayim Kibbut Av, Kibbut Eim, his father sent him, mother sent him, to form Sarah Agra. According to the amount that Sarah person has in his effort, he gets Sar. If the Rebbe Shalom will give him Kitzis Aderech, it will be an easier trip. It will take away from the Sar, it will take away from the wonderful course that he has in his traveling. So in traveling for the mitzvah, he has no Kitzis Aderech. When he turns around to go back, now he's not the Kayim Kibbut Aveim. Now the purpose of his traveling is to get where he has to be. At that point, he has Kachitza Saderech. The mussar in it is that when a person does a mitzvah and there are difficulties on the way, those difficulties are themselves blessings. They're themselves chosim. They make the mitzvah all the much greater. I saw in the Sefer Yakla Dairaisa that when Rav Zalman Sarutzkin heard this word, this yisayid of the Brisker Rav, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene when you're doing a mitzvah and he lets it be difficult. He said, with this, I can answer a difficulty I had back in Parshas Chayisara. In Chayisara, Eliezer comes upon Rivka and observes her, V'teret al-ra'ayla v'temali kada. She goes to the well and fills her kad, fills her pitcher. Rashi says that the water came up towards her. It doesn't say she bent down lishayv mayim to draw water, but tamale kada, the water came towards her. It was easy for her to fill up her pitcher. So therefore, Eliezer knows that this is a special person. First of all, Zalman Sarutzkin, it bothered me. There it says that tamale kada, she didn't have to draw the water. But look at the rest of the parasha. When she draws water to give to the Eliezer, to the Gemalim, the passage says clearly that she drew the water. Vaturah Zalabeh Vatishara, that she drew water. Why didn't the water come up to her then? According to the Brisker Rav Yisrael, it's beautiful. Kozeman, she was just feeding, doing her job, feeding her animals, so she had help. But at this moment, which is Mekayim Achasas Arachim, she did this great mitzvah of a young girl taking care of Eliezer and the Gemalim. That's a schus. So Rav Zalman Sarutzkin, then she bent down and she drew. She drew the water. So these are two ideas, one from the end of the parasha, one from the beginning of the parasha, that are very much nogeya to our lessons in life, our understanding. And when things are difficult, love is dafka, it's bad. Sometimes you have difficulties on the way because, deliberately, it makes the schar greater. It's not something we appreciate. We want mitzvahs to come easily. They don't come easily. They come sometimes a tremendous mesiras nefesh, effort, schlitz, staying up late at night, looking for parking when you go to learn and not giving up. All these are part of the greatness. The idea of a mishmar, of staying up overnight, it says in the Ben Ishchai that it's mechaper on chorus. Why? Because it's difficult. You can have 12 hours by day and 12 hours by night. My nafkamina. It's difficult. Difficulty makes the mitzvah more chashuv. The situation in Eretz Yisrael is one which is very unsettling for all of us. I'd like to share with you a thought as we head towards Hanukkah. In the Nevuah of Daniel, he sees that the Jewish people will experience a galus at the ends of four different kingdoms before the times of Mashiach. Galus Bavel, which is the Korban by Yisrishin, and Tisha B'Av, is the first. The second is Golas Parasol Madai, which Purim commemorates a part of, and then it's a Golas that took place during the 70 years of Golas. The third is Golas Yavon, which Hanukkah commemorates. During the Bayis Sheni, there was a Golas and oppression at the end of Yavon. And the third is Golas Edom, our current exile. And if you look in Daniel's Nevuah, you'll see that the first three exiles are symbolized by one thing each. In the first vision, one is gold, one is silver, one is copper. In the second vision, one is a specific animal, another animal, a third animal. Golas Edom is a combination, it's a mixture. Golas Edom is the longest Golas. It's the Golas that is a mixture of many, many Golas. And we can understand that Golas Edom, our current Golas, which began with the Korban Bayis Sheni 2,000 years ago, has within it the man of each of the first three. The first period of our Golas, when the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, is the same as the Golas Bavel. Tisha B'Av commemorates the Korban Bayis Rishon, the Korban Bayis Sheni. Because the beginning of Golas Edom was like Golas Bavel. Yidden thought they'd have 70 years and come back. They saw it as another type of Golas Bavel. The second 1,000 years of our Golas, of Golas Edom, mirrors Paras Umadai, a time where Klal Yisrael was threatened by mass murder, mass extinction. It's a terrible trials of physical survival. And that's the threat of Purim, or Paras Umadai. That's the threat of Ahasuerus and Haman. And we suffered that, beginning with the Crusades and the Khmelnytsky massacres and the pogroms, and of course, the terrible events of World War I and World War II. They mirror the second part of the vision of Daniel, the Malchus, the Golas of Paras Umadai. The third Golas is Golas Yavon. Golas Yavon is in Eretz Yisrael, with the Beit HaMikdash, in times that should have been good times. And within those times, we're oppressed by the Yavonim. Yavonim nikbetzu alai, when we had a Beit HaMikdash, we were in Eretz Yisrael. In a very significant way, our current period, the post-Holocaust period, mirrors Golas Yavon. It's a time where Yidden on the whole, Yidden who want, have their funkite. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we have a Bate Midrashim, a Bate Kinesiyais, in the countries in which we're free to learn, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Eretz Yisrael, the ability to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the way we dreamt of having Eretz Yisrael, but we have the land, we have the Mekaymes HaKadosh. It's very much similar to Malchus Yavon. And therefore this Golas very much mirrors the three. And as we cut to Hanukkah, and we learn much about the Yavonim, we learn much about the Mesiavonim, we learn much about Greek culture and how it threatened Klal Yisrael. That idea is something we have to prepare for. A preparation of seeing it as a musa for our time, our generation, the difficulties we have today in Eretz Yisrael. We can only imagine the time of Matisyahu Ubanov. You know that every one of his children was killed in war. You can picture the terrible news of a stabbing of one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Matisyahu Ubanov, all of his children were killed in those wars. A terrible time of trial and travail. Even when the Nes Chanukah came, with only some light in a great darkness. We should identify with it. And as we prepare for Chanukah, identify with the messages of Chanukah. The Mirtz Hashem, the Chanukah that's coming, should bring, just as it did then, a reprieve from the oppression of the Yavanim, or should bring a reprieve from the period of our Golas. May we all have a wonderful Shabbos and put our minds to preparing for Chanukah. We prepare for Sukkot, we prepare for Purim, we prepare for Chanukah. We don't prepare that much. Physically, there's not much to prepare, but spiritually, there's a lot. Wishing one and all a great, wonderful Shabbos.